one verse of scripture today and share with you a word the Lord has given me for this Mother's Day. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In this passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy and he was encouraging him. And here's what Paul said to Timothy in verse 5. He said, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." I want to talk to you today about a mother's influence. A mother's influence. One more time, if you'll pray with me and for me. Jesus, we thank you once again for your presence and your anointing that we felt here today already. Lord, we could leave now saying it's been so good to be in your house. But I thank you, Lord, for the word that you have for your people today. I pray for the next few moments that you would remove every distraction and every hindrance that would prohibit and hinder us from hearing and receiving what your word would speak to us today. I pray you would anoint these lips of clay, that I would deliver the word that you've given me with the power and the demonstration of your spirit, and that you would anoint every ear to hear and every heart to receive what you are speaking to your people today. And Lord, we will leave here differently than we came because we've been in your presence and changed by your word. God, we honor mamas today, and we worship you and lift you high. And we ask you to show us through your word today how we can be better examples and better ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. While you're being seated, I recognize some friends I had here last week, and I just realized his precious wife and our good friend didn't get to be here with Josh last week, but today we have Holly, and we also have Bryce. I don't know how we got that, Holly's boy. But could you give Miss Holly Johns a great big welcome and Bryce this morning? Let them know we're so thankful to have them today. Possibly no other person in the world, including the father or even the pastor, holds so much influence in shaping the destiny of this world than does the mother. There are many, especially in this day and time that we live in, many influencers that play a part in building the character of our children. How many know that's true? But the nature of a mother's relationship places the mama in a unique position of greater responsibility and accountability than anybody else. I want you to listen to some of these quotes from prominent men and women and what they had to say about the influence that mothers had upon their lives. First of all, Napoleon said, "The future destiny of the child is always the work of the mother. Let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." John Quincy Adams said, "All that I am, my mother made me." Henry Ward Beecher said, "The mother's heart is a child's schoolroom." Ralph Waldo Emerson, for those that love to read, said, "Men are what their mothers made them." Ladies, if he's a loser. Last but not least, Sarah Josepha Hale said this, "There is no influence so powerful as that of a mother." And out of all those that I just mentioned, the name that is probably the least recognized among those would be Sarah Josepha Hale. But if you don't know who that is, she was famous for writing a poem that spoke of the influence that not only a mother, but a motherly figure had in the lives of those beneath her or her children. And that poem quickly became a little catchy song that many of you sang as a child. And it went something like this. "Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow." Watch this. "And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go." She was speaking of the influence that a mother or a motherly figure has in the lives of children. And these are the opinions of prominent men and women of the influence of mothers. So I ask today the mothers in the room, the mothers to be, those who want to be mothers, and the mother figures who are listening to me today. I want to ask you, what kind of influence are you having on your family? What kind of influence do you have upon this community and upon the world? And what kind of society will you leave to the next generation? See, the mother holds the key to the soul. She stamps the coin of character, and she makes that boy or that girl who would have grown up to be a menace to society, she makes them a fine Christian young man or woman because of her caring, guiding ways. Some years ago, there was an investigation of 1,200 children that was made by Columbia University. And in this investigation, it was discovered that there is an agreement in character ideas between children and parents closer by far than the agreement of these children with the ideas of the other groups with which they are closely associated or influenced by. The index of that agreement ran like this. 55% of the influence came from the parents. 35% came from friends or playmates. 14% was club leaders, and 3% was teachers. And of the two parents that had 55%, the mother's influence was stronger. Listen to this. The mother had 300 times, not three times, 300 times more influence on the children than their fathers did. And for this reason, mamas, you have an unparalleled responsibility. A mother's chief responsibility is to be the homemaker. Now, I know this is contrary to the pattern of the modern woman who is striving to make ends meet and the sacrifice of home life. And I understand in today's society, most women have to work for economic reasons. I realize that. But we must realize that our first obligation and our first duty is to be a mama first. Somebody say amen. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, and I didn't give them this one, because the mama's chief responsibility is her children. And the word said, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Do you know how the best way to train somebody is? The best way to train somebody is to show them, to live out the example before them, to walk out the motions with them as you are doing it yourself. Listen to me. Children, as well as anybody younger than you, will follow what you do far more than they will follow what you say. And there is no love on earth like a mama's love. A mama attends to her children's hurts. She forgives their wrongs, and she forbears with them with all patience and long-suffering. And no one is quite as understanding, quite as sympathetic, or quite as caring as a mama. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, when I got hurt, I went to my mama. I didn't go to my daddy. I was a mama's boy. I loved my daddy. If I went to my daddy, he'd say, "Suck it up. Stop crying or I'll give you a reason to cry." I mean, you could be bleeding on your kneecap. He'd say, "Wash it off. You'll be all right." But I'd go to mama and she'd pet and she'd love and she'd caress. So who do you think I went to? I went to mama. A good example of the care of a love of a mother is told in a Bible story, and actually from the father's perspective, because the father even knows what the child needs. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18, the word said, one day her child was older. He went out to help his father who was working with the harvesters. And suddenly he cried out, "My head hurts, my head hurts." And his father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." Because the father knew that in an hour of sickness, the mother's love was what was needed. The father knew that even in those times, mama could do something more for the child than he could. But I want to ask you a question this morning, and I probably will have a hard time getting folks to help me preach. But does this injunction for a mother to love her children mean that there should be an absence of discipline? God himself said in his word in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I also rebuke and chasten. Hear me this morning, parents. Whether you are a mama or a daddy, true discipline is a form of love. Discipline is direction. Discipline is guidance. Discipline is instruction. And can I tell you this morning that this generation is a very confused, very frustrated, very mixed up, crazy world that they're living in, and instruction, particularly from the Word of God, is the greatest gift that could ever be given to our children today. It will not hurt them. We are living in a time where parents, for some reason, find it easier to just not discipline their children. But Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15 has something very firm to say about that. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. How many homes have been disgraced simply because parents, through what they called love, failed to restrain their children from evil and damaging influences? In many cases, that which is labeled love, here's where you're going to stop helping me, is actually neglect. Because parents become weary with correction. So then they submit to the culture climate of this time that we're living in, and they neglect to discipline their children. Discipline seems to be old-fashioned, out of style, and contrary to much of modern psychology. But I want to tell you something this morning, parents. When you leave your children unsupervised, you are neglecting them. What do you mean, Pastor? When you leave them with one of these, or a computer, or a television these days, that you don't filter what's coming through it, it's called neglect. And I don't care, you're 7, 8-year, 9-year, 10-year, 15, 16, 17-year-old that's still a minor, has no business behind closed doors with a member of the opposite sex. And while I'm at it, you might want to keep the door open today if they're the same sex. They need supervision. They need godly guidance. They need correction, and they need discipline. Modern culture labels what I grew up knowing as a whooping, not a spanking, a whooping. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Modern culture labels what I grew up knowing as a whooping as child abuse. Modern culture today says you shouldn't strike a child. Anybody else besides me ever wear stripes on your legs to school? Now, I'm just going to tell you, in the day that we're living in, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. If you stripe them, put blue jeans on them. But my mama would make me go out and pick the switch. Can I get a witness? And I better go ahead and pick a good one while I was at it. Because if she had to go pick it, Lord help us. And she would strap my legs and forbid me to move. If you ran from her, it was worse than if you stood there and took it. And when she got done, I knew not to do what I had done again unless I wanted more where that came from. And I know today's culture, I know this isn't popular, and today's culture says, oh, you shouldn't strike a child. Oh, Pastor, we don't believe in hitting in our house. We don't believe in spanking. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, God's word said this, don't shoot the messenger. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. And those who love their children care enough to discipline them. If you want them to grow up differently than you see them acting right now, take up the rod of discipline, and I promise you things will come out a whole lot different some years down the road than what they will if you let it go like it is. Too many parents have followed the, we'll call it the behavioral sciences for the proper term, which philosophy is to let the child do as he pleases, or to let him or her, this is a good one, you hear this, express themselves. I thought, what does that even mean? But this philosophy, I want to tell you what it's done. It's produced more delinquents and maladjusted children than the old-fashioned methods of discipline based on the Word of God ever produced. Parents feel if they discipline their children, I've heard this one before. I actually had a parent say to me one time, I don't want to frustrate them. And while it's true that frustration will accompany discipline, it's pretty frustrating to stand there while you're getting striped with a switch. But can I tell you, your children are going to face a whole lot of frustrations in this life. And when your child learns to face the frustration of discipline and overcome it, they will become a better fitted member for not just the church, but for society in general. I want to tell you something this morning. I love my mama. She's been gone 17 years now. I'd give my eye teeth to have 5 more minutes with her. But can I tell you this morning, she did not fail to discipline me. Can I also add that she was not the least bit concerned about my frustrations. If I back-talked, I got backhanded. Can I get a witness? Here's another one. If I got in trouble at school, she didn't call the teacher and say, I need to meet with you about what you did to my boy. She said, no, if you get a paddling at school, and I did get a few, they were allowed to do that then. School was a lot better place then. Hello, somebody. But she said, if you get a paddling at school, you're getting a whooping when you get home. And she meant every word of it. And I got to just throw this in there. It won't cost you anything. I'm not charging extra for this morning. There won't be another offering taken. I promise. But I hear this sometimes today and I cringe, and it's all I can do to mind my own business. But if I ever told my mama to shut up, or if I ever looked at her and said, no, I won't, and you can't make me, can I tell you, I would have gone on to be with Jesus at a very early age. On more than one occasion, she looked at me and said, boy, I brought you into this world. I can take you out of it. And she meant every word that she said. And can I tell you something this morning? Thank God for parents that don't neglect to discipline their children. The Bible tells us this is God's way for us to deal with children. It's God's way of showing love for a child. To pamper a child is to hurt them. But the scripture that I just read in Proverbs links discipline with love. Can I tell you, parents, you do not need to feel guilty for placing restrictions on your children. You do not need to feel guilty for standing firm. When they ask you, if you say no, I don't care if they ask you 47-11 times, as my mom would say, your answer is still and should still be no. When they learn they can push you over, they'll continue to push you over. Do not feel guilty about restrictions, firmness, or discipline. And listen, simply because they rebel against it, and they will, that's their nature. Because in reality, let me tell you something that you're missing when you don't discipline your children. Most children have a deep-seated appreciation for parents who care enough about them to lovingly administer discipline in their life. The final outcome of that discipline can be found in the words of Solomon, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Can I tell you, in the case of my mama, after she knocked you down a time or two, the next time you arose, if you knew what was good, you'd call her blessed. Can I get a witness? See, there's this period in life when psychiatrists have chosen to call a period of life, quote, the return to the parents. And it's at this time that the young person realizes the discipline of their mother and their father was only an act of love. And most adults listening to me today, you can remember a time when you thought your mama was a bit old-fashioned. Anybody? I grew up, I'm not big on denominations. It doesn't matter what denomination you are. I'm just big on Jesus and everything he's got to offer. But I grew up Baptist. And I'll never forget, my mama was, I didn't know then what I know now, and she was the strictest Baptist woman I think I've ever known in my life. She was hardcore. She was what they called hard shell Baptist. Anybody know what that is? She was hardcore, and I'll never forget, I was in middle school when I thought my mama's discipline was a little old-fashioned, or her ways were a little old-fashioned. I was in middle school, and I wanted to go to the movies with some other kids from the Pentecostal church because there were some pretty girls there. Hello, somebody. That's where I met my wife. Thank you, Jesus. But I wanted to go. She wasn't going to the movies then. I didn't know her in middle school. But anyway, she showed up there at church at some point. She went there her whole life, but I missed her until high school. But anyway, I wanted to go to the movies with some Pentecostal friends. You know what my mama said? She's a Baptist. She said, boy, that movie house will send you to hell. I was like, good Lord, Mom, we just want to go watch a movie. Her requirements many times were too stringent. Angie can even tell you, even as she aged, she was just too overboard about some things. I even learned that when she had a stroke and I had to start taking over care of things for her, I discovered that my mama had got to the place in her life where she gave over 20% of her income instead of 10. And I also knew that while she was in an incapacitated state, that if I didn't keep that up for her when she got well, I'd be in trouble. Angie said, you really mean, I was on her checking account, you really mean to tell me you're worried about paying her tithes? I was like, do you know my mom? When this is over and she comes back to her senses, I better have paid her tithes. Her requirements were stringent. Sometimes I felt like her ideas were obsolete. But today, I do find myself with some of the same philosophies of my old-fashioned mama. Anybody else? Things that are deep-rooted in you from your mama. But if you were fortunate enough to have a kind of mother or maybe even a mother figure in your life like that, and I pray that you were. Can I tell you that young people will test the limits of their parents? The parents don't need to succumb to the pressure, because to love your children is not to give in to every whim and every desire, but to guide them. And Ephesians said to bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I'm so thankful that I had a mama, parents, that made sure I was in church and Sunday school. For those of y'all that had a hard time getting here today, we used to have to be there at 10. How many knows what I'm talking about? You did Sunday school for an hour, then you come into the sanctuary for church. Because that was where I received instruction from the Lord. And parents, listen to me. That is why it is so vitally important that you have your children here, not just for church on Sundays, but also for discipleship on Wednesdays. Because that is when they receive such good teaching that is presented to them from the Word of God, but on their level, regardless of what age they are. And I am not against children being involved in other things. My children were involved in other things growing up, but I want to tell you something this morning. There is nothing more important for your children to be involved in than the local church. Nothing. I used to tell people my mama had a drug problem. She drugged me to church every Sunday morning. She drugged me back every Sunday night. And she drugged me there every Wednesday night. It was not an option for me to stay at home. I talk to some parents today, and sometimes I'll look at some of y'all and I'll say, where's so-and-so? And so-and-so's a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old. And I hear, oh, I couldn't get them to come today. I wish my mama was living. I'd be like, come over here for just a second. Give her 5 minutes and she'll tell you how to remedy that situation. They'll be here. It was not an option for me. Another responsibility of the mother, and this is the last part I'm going to touch on, but the responsibility of a mother is a homemaker. The book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 5. Here's what it said. From a mother to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Don't get nervous, ladies. I'm not preaching that today. Then, everybody shout then. Then they will not bring shame to the word of God. I had never read that way before. I had never thought about it that way. So in other words, to not live wisely, ladies, to not be pure, to not work in your homes, to not do good, and even though I'm not preaching it, to not be submissive to your husbands, that does bring shame to the word of God. That ought to hit you like a ton of bricks. But I want to focus this morning on the statement to work in their homes. Now, some of y'all are no more excited about that than you are me preaching on being submissive to your husbands. Amen. If you can't say amen, say on me. But somebody said, we're living in a different world today. Things are different now. The mother today, she's been set free from the bondage of the home. It makes her have a better personality. Her time, and in many cases, her education, it's not being wasted on being at home cleaning the house and raising those children. But I want you to listen to me, folks. That's a distorted view of things. Education, time, and talent is never wasted. Even though mama may have to work outside the home, I get that. We did that our whole children's lives. But can I tell you, your responsibility is to be a mama first, before anything else. And this new freedom that they talk about in culture that women and mothers have assumed under the guise of progress is what they say. Can I tell you, it's a contributing factor to the delinquency and the moral decay of young people of our day. You don't have to say amen. I'm still right. It's a contributing factor. Women are so vitally important, and we honor you today. But this attitude that a woman can do anything better than a man can, and raising up girls to teach them to hit boys, well, I'll move on. It's a contributing factor to the decline of society today. And American mothers many times have forsaken their homes for a more demanding job or a position with the thought in mind they have good intentions. I've heard this. I want my children to have the best of everything. I'm going to see to it that my child has the things in life that I could not have. And that's a materialistic concept of this age. And many mothers feel as if they're not given that privilege, then they're being cheated out in life while sons and daughters are left to fend for themselves, to roam the streets at night, unattended, undisciplined, and uninstructed. Listen, if you don't believe me, you can come down to this building, on this property, on that lower level parking lot, on any weeknight. I'm not even talking about weekends. Any weeknight late. And you can find kids. I'm not talking about teenagers. You can find kids hanging out in this parking lot doing ungodly things, and their parents not only don't have a clue where they are, they don't care where they are. And as a matter of fact, I'm just going to tell you, we had a Saturday incident. Some of our security team asked me, these were not older teenagers, these were probably 12, 13-year-olds, that our security cameras caught a sexual incident that was taking place on the steps of our daycare entrance. And the guys were like, do you want to see? I'm like, no, I'm good. Thank you. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying thank God for mamas that rear their children the way they should according to the Word of God. But as the church, we're also called to be a mother to the motherless. We're called to seek them out and find them and train them up in the way that they should go. And listen, a lot of mamas feel like they have to work for enough money to buy a second car, have a few days vacation, or to keep up with the Joneses. And I realize, as I've already said, in most cases, for economic reasons, it demands that mama works. But mama, don't ever forget that your first duty and your greatest responsibility and the highest paid position that you'll ever have is to be in the home with your children who were given to you as a heritage from the Lord. And I'm almost done. But this day and hour that we live in has produced an entirely different motherhood. Instead of mothers in the home, those who don't have to work or don't choose to work public jobs, some of them are occupied with all kinds of other things and unnecessary functions that takes them away from their homes. You don't believe me? We have mothers of some children in the daycare who don't work jobs. The children attend daycare and you can't get them to pick them up, to come get them when they're sick, because they're out occupied with other things. And the modern woman, in a bid for her place in society, has been convinced, listen to me this morning, by the enemy. That's where it comes from, by the devil, that there is something greater than being an influencer to her children. Or if she doesn't have children of her own, to influence those around her. God has given you a position and a place to be an influence to those children around you. And it's from the mother that the child acquires the materials to build a good life. And I pray this morning for a return in the church, for a return to Bible-based mamas. Bible-based ideas and Bible-based morality and behavior. Mothers like Jochebed in the Bible, who was the mother of Moses, who cared for him and nurtured him in an hour of danger. Mothers like Hannah, who led Samuel to the Lord and surrounded him with her prayers and took him to the house of God. Mothers like Lois and Eunice that was read about in our main text today, who through their constant family devotion and their earnest searching of the Scriptures brought salvation to their entire household. Or mothers like the mother of Dewey Talmage, who when she led her families in prayer, this is the way she would pray: "O Lord God, I ask not for my children wealth or honor, but I do ask that they all be subjects to your converting grace." Or for mothers like Susanna Wesley, the mother of 19 children. She deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. Come on, somebody. The mother of 19 children, but listen at this, who through faith and prayers was able to successfully win every single one of her children to God. Can I tell you this morning, there is nothing greater or more lasting on this earth than the impact of a mother or a spiritual mother can make on those whose lives you've been blessed to influence. There's nothing that can take the place of a mother's influence in your life. Ladies, what a calling. What a calling. What a responsibility. What an opportunity to do something great for the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought that without Billy Graham's mama, we would have had no Billy Graham? Thank God for the mamas that teach their children about Jesus. And the Word of God, as I close, has something to say about these women. And you can go ahead and come to the music. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25 says, listen at this, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise." Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Whether it was a natural mother, a spiritual mother, or both, could we all just stand right now and give God some praise for those virtuous women that God has allowed to influence our lives? Come on, give God some praise for those women. While you remain standing today, I mentioned a story from the Scripture. It's found in 2 Kings about the Shunammite woman. I didn't read the whole story to you. I don't have time to read the whole story, but it's a wonderful story. I have a message on that story that's a message of its own. But I want to ask you three questions this morning that Elijah asked the Shunammite woman. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26, he asked her, "Woman, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Number 3, is it well with your child or your children?" And I want to ask you this morning to individually, privately answer this question. Mama, lady, is it well with you today? Because here's reality, folks. There's no need for you to expect your children to turn out well if you don't first completely surrender to God. There's no need for you to lead your children in bedside prayer and require them to say grace at the table if your life is being lived out in front of them contrary to the principles of God's Word. So, Mama, I ask you again today, is it well with you? The next question is it well with your husband? I know there's ladies in this room today that can tell you one of the hardest things that you'll ever do is to try to raise your children without a godly father. And Dad, if you're standing here today, you know, yesterday as I was looking on at the conference, as they were reminding women of their worth and their purpose and their authority as a daughter of the King, I thought, God, what do you want to remind the men of? Men, we're called to be the priest of our home. That's a firm responsibility. And if you are standing here today and you're not taking the biblical role as the priest of your home, you need to make things right with the Lord and begin leading your family according to the Word of God. Dad, there's nothing unmanly about being a godly man. I know there's a lot of femininity. Is that a word? I know there's a lot of effeminates in the church. I'll put it like that. Not necessarily this one, but in the world today. But you can be a man of God and still be a man. One of the most manly things you'll ever do is humble yourself before God and say, God, give me the strength and the wisdom to lead my family the way you'd have me to lead them. So the last question I ask today, is it well with your children? Every mother will face God one day for the manner in which you've reared your children. Are you willing to face that judgment? Have you done everything within your power to win your children to the Lord? And listen, I know sometimes there are some that have. You have done everything within your power. I talked to a lady yesterday and your children are still going the other direction. You've done everything within your power. Can I tell you, there was a promise made to you in this book, if that's you. It said if you train up that child in the way it should go, when they grow old, didn't even say when you grow old, you may not even be here to see it, but when you got a promise in the Word of God, if you train them up in the way they should go, when they grow old, they will not depart from it. That's a promise in the Word of God. Or maybe this morning you say, Pastor, I really kind of have to hang my head in shame and remorse over the time I've wasted in being a godly mama. If that's you, can I tell you something this morning? That's why I love what the psalmist said. The psalmist David said, your mercies are new every single morning. That means it doesn't matter what mistakes you made years ago, months ago, weeks ago, or even last night. God's mercy is new every morning. And if you make that decision to bring it to the foot of the cross today, Jesus will meet you.